Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate today on our Gospel reading from Luke chapter 2. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, bless us today as we meditate on your word as you blessed Simeon and Anna at the sight of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. There is something very special about seeing an elderly person holding a newborn baby. All the hope and joy and expectation of that new life, meeting all the experience and the wisdom and the calm of old age. The past, the present, and the future seem to intersect at that very moment. There's often a glint in the eye of the older person who I suppose has learned from experience that these moments don't come along that often, that this is something special. I remember very clearly the first time our boys were held by their great grandparents. I remember being struck by the gravity of what was happening at that moment. And then as a nervous new parent thinking, now please don't drop my child. In today's passage, we witness this similar moment when the infant Jesus is brought into the temple and is met and is held by Simeon, a man we're told is righteous and devout and is waiting for the consolation of Israel. Simeon had been promised through the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. So Simeon lives in hope that this will one day come to pass, and that when it does, he will be able to die a happy man. He'll be able to go to his grave in peace. So just two main points that I want to focus on with you today. The first is living in hope. The second is dying in peace. Living in hope, dying in peace. Our story today picks up where we left off with the Christmas narrative. Mary and Joseph, the new parents, leaving Bethlehem on what's probably the first big family outing that they've gone on, and heading down to Jerusalem to the temple. It's interesting, we really only have two recorded family outings in the Gospels, and both of them go to the same place. They go to Jerusalem to the temple. This is the center of religious life, the center of social life for the Jewish people. They go there 40 days after Jesus' birth, for Mary's purification, Jesus' presentation, which basically involves certain sacrifices according to the law of Moses. So in one sense, what they're doing here is what any typical Jewish family at the time would have done. It's what was expected of them, so that's what they did. But what happens when they're there is not expected at all. It's quite out of the ordinary. They run into not one, but two people, two elderly people, two very faithful elderly people who both are there, and both are people who I would describe as people living in hope. Living in hope. The first is Simeon, who we've said is waiting for the consolation of Israel, a turning point in Israel's history, some kind of relief, some kind of sign of hope, sign of renewed fortune for the people of God. And Simeon has been promised that he would live to see it, at least to see the beginning of it. The second person is Anna, a prophetess who's said to be 84 years old. She became a widow after just 7 years of marriage, so we think that perhaps she has some kind of a sad or difficult story there behind her in the past, but it seems that ever since then she's been living and serving at God's temple. She's kind of got a new lease on life in her service of the Lord in that place, worshipping, fasting, and praying in the temple. You know, some people give so much time and effort and energy to the church, we joke that it's like they live here. I often say that to people, it's like they're always here, not that that's a bad thing, but they might as well just, you know, put up a tent and stay. Well, Anna actually does do that literally. She lives at the temple. She serves there, she never leaves that place. She gives her whole life to the service of God. Anna at this point is 84 years young. She reminds us that we are never too old or for that matter, too young, too rich, too poor, too educated, too uneducated, too bright, not bright enough, that we're never too tired from too many Christmas celebrations, never too lethargic from watching too much cricket or anything like that, never too tricky a personality, never too dark a past, never too hurting a person, never too anything, for that matter, to be serving our Lord, to be there in the Lord's service. There she is, dear old Anna, 84 years of age, worshipping, fasting, praying to her God. And Anna's reaction to Simeon's interaction with Jesus as he holds him in his arms tells us something else about her. Tells us that she too has been living in hope, looking forward to something, anticipating something. It's what she calls the redemption of Jerusalem. The redemption of Jerusalem. You see, the struggle of Jerusalem is not new. The struggle of Jerusalem is as old as the hills. The social and political and at its heart spiritual struggle of that place is nothing new. It seems to reemerge every so often on the news, especially when the United States gets involved. But it's nothing new, right? There has been a struggle over Jerusalem, a struggle of Jerusalem that goes back generations. When Simeon thinks about this, when he considers what would bring the consolation of Israel, when Anna thinks about this, when she thinks what would bring the redemption of Jerusalem, the answer they see is the little answer they hold in their hands. The hope that they have is the hope God has given them of a Messiah, the hope that is right there in front of them, an anointed one, a saving one, a redeeming one, a consoling one. This is no small hope that they pin on this little child that they hold in their hands. No wonder Mary and Joseph are said to marvel at their words. And no doubt, as new parents, probably to feel a little bit nervous as well about what all this would mean for their life and their family. Living in hope. Hope is a good thing. Hope is a necessary thing for human beings. One of my favorite movies is The Shawshank Redemption. Many of you would know The Shawshank Redemption, in which Andy Dufresne is wrongly accused and then imprisoned of murder, of murdering his wife. And hope is really, I would say, the strongest theme of that movie. When his friend Red tells him that hope is a dangerous thing, that it has no use inside a prison, Andy later responds, "No, hope is a good thing. Hope is maybe the best of things," he says. Hope is a good thing. Hope is maybe the best of things. I would say hope is a necessary thing for human beings to have in their lives. So I wonder what you hope for right now, last day of the year. What are you hoping for? What are you anticipating about the new year? Maybe you're just hoping that 2017 will end. Maybe you're done with it. You're finished. You're ready for something new to begin. Well, you don't have long to wait. Maybe there's something in your family, something in your workplace, something in your home, something in your community, something socially, something politically, something globally that you're hoping for, that you're anticipating, that you're looking forward to in this coming year. Wonder what that is. Remember the words of the angel last week to Mary, "With God, all things are possible." What you hope for, what you look forward to, with God, all things are possible. But when we talk about living in hope as Christian people, we're not just talking about our individual desires. And we're certainly not just talking about a kind of wishful thinking. You know, wouldn't it be nice if that happened? A maybe, a possibility, a perhaps. That's not all we're talking about when we start talking about Christian hope. What Simeon and Anna did, what their hope involved, was putting faith in the promises of God for what was to come, and then holding on to them for dear life, taking hold of God's promises and never letting go. What we're talking about here is choosing to believe God and that God has good things in store for his people, that God does indeed make all things work together for good for those who love him, despite how it may sometimes appear to the contrary. I bet there were times, I shouldn't bet, but I bet there were times when Simeon and Anna felt hopeless, when they wanted to give up hope, right? They're getting on in age. God's made these promises to them, but it doesn't seem to be happening. They must have started to feel like it was hopeless. What use was there praying for Jerusalem, weeping over Israel? They must have felt hopeless at times. But what they did was they hung in there and they held on to the promises of God for them. That's all they could do. They held on to what God had said to them and his word, and they held on to their hope. And they held on to that hope long enough to hold in their arms the one they had hoped for. The salvation, the redemption, the consolation of God in his infancy. Now, they must have only understood a tiny bit of what that would mean for them and Israel and the world. But they held on, and they held on to hope. So firstly, living in hope. Secondly, dying in peace. At some point for all of us, living must give way to dying. But the how matters. The how matters. The reaction of Anna and Simeon to seeing Jesus is beautiful. It's blissful. It's joyful, right? They're almost giddy with excitement, these two old folks, at the presence of that little baby. Anna, she rejoices, she thanks God, and she starts talking to people, anyone who will listen, about the importance of this child. Simeon, as he holds Jesus in his arms, he gives us the Song of Simeon. And you'd be familiar with the Song of Simeon because it's found its way over the years into our Lutheran liturgies, probably other church liturgies as well. It goes like this: Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your words, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people. What was Simeon saying there? Lord, let your servant depart in peace. He's not saying he can just leave the building, right? He's not just asking for a blessing or to be on his way or to go into a new area of worship or work. It's a prayer that he would be able to die in peace, that he can die in peace after holding this child. Why? Why can he? Well, because according to Simeon, he has seen and heard and held what God has promised him. And at that moment, he's utterly content. He is completely at peace with God and with the world. He says, I can die a happy man, is what he's saying in the Song of Simeon. Now, this song has been repeated Sunday after Sunday in churches around the world ever since that time. It's been read at countless Christian funerals. It's been read at countless hospital beds. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. In our Lutheran services, it's usually said or sung after we receive communion. I want you to think for a moment about how fitting that is. We, like Simeon, having held Christ in our hands, his body, his blood, having heard and seen and tasted the realization of God's promises, having held on to our Lord, we now declare to each other and to the world, we can die in peace. If it is God's will, we can die in peace. What do we think we need to do or see or have, I wonder, to die in peace? Do you have a bucket list? A lot of people do. 100 things you want to do before you die? 1,000 places you want to visit before you visit heaven? I've got a few of those. Maybe you do too. Look, Simeon and Anna, they knew they were never leaving Palestine, right? They knew they were getting on. They knew their days were numbered. They had learned what life was about and what it wasn't about. They were living in hope. And when they looked down at this little child in their arms, their Lord Jesus Christ, they knew they could die in peace. They could go home to God in peace. If you do nothing else before you die, and I do hope you get to do a few other things before you die, but if you do nothing else, come to the Lord's table this morning, receive the body and blood of Christ in your hands, hold your Lord, recognize the significance of what is going on in that moment, that his body and blood has been shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And sing with Simeon and Anna and the church of all ages, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. Then go on living in hope until the day you are called home in peace. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you call us to live our whole lives with you, to live in hope, not just a wishful thinking, but the sure and certain hope of the promises you make us in your Son, Jesus. Lord, help us to hold on with all our might to those promises, and help us as we come to your table today to hold on to you, your gift of yourself to us in the body and blood of your Son. Lord, prepare us all when the time is right, when your time is right, that we may go home to you in peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.